Welcome to Mulder Was Right, everybody. My name is Curtis. That was a fun little intro thing we did that Brendan set up really nicely there.
Yeah, we fun fact, we never actually hear the intro go off. We just, you know, start talking.
Through the power of editing. Hopefully most people are familiar with that, that there's not just some sort of weird stream of consciousness like entity that's emitting all of our voices and also all of the sounds that are made, all of the music just coming from some orb in space.
What? You see,
did you think that's what was happening?
I was aware that that's what was happening. I didn't just think that. I was aware of it.
So it is. So I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
A lot of people are going to be confused because a lot of people don't watch the stream, but they listen to it on their podcast app, their favorite podcast app.
Their favorite podcast app.
That just happens always.
A few people use their least favorite podcast app, and for those people we apologize.
Is that SoundCloud?
I don't know what their least favorite happens to be, and just the conditions of their life have forced them to live suboptimally.
Sure. I was about to make a joke about Kanye West, but that's done.
All the jokes about Kanye West are, I think, done. You could say that about today's topic as well. The jokes have been made. The jokes are there. The jokes are self-evident.
Okay.
We're going to talk about a man today.
Okay.
A man, because I wanted to talk about this man's beliefs, but I also wanted to talk about the man himself because he is, quite a figure in the world of conspiracy.
Is it Alex Jones?
No, it's David Icke.
David Icke.
It's not Alex Jones.
You see, I feel like I've actually heard this name. I'm not 100% sure where I've heard it.
You've probably heard it.
But I'm pretty sure that
he's been a big deal for a while. He really came into the scene of conspiracies around like about 1990, 91. That's when it really happened for him. And he got kind of famous. And we'll get into all that. I want to read a bit from the first chapter of one of his books called The Biggest Secret.
Okay.
He has a fuck ton of books. He's one of those guys that just writes books after book.
I wish I had a fuck ton of books. Maybe not of this kind.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't want this kind. This book, The Biggest Secret, is available as a PDF on the internet for free. It's 541 pages.
Okay. That's a lot of pages for something to be free on the internet.
Right. And he has had... And it's part of like his deal is that he wants the information out there, so he's less worried about
making
money.
Sense.
Is that he just wants the information to be there?
How kind of him!
It's infinitely kind of him. You'll have a little more context after I read this. This is there's like an introduction to this book and stuff, but this is the beginning of the first chapter. There were two ways of writing this book. I could have held back information which is stunningly bizarre but true. This would be the easy way, staying within the comfort zone and communicating only that which would not challenge too many people's sense of possibility. Or I could treat the readers like a fully formed, fully connected, multidimensional adult human beings and communicate all the relevant information, including some which will stretch their sense of reality to breaking point. As always, I have chosen the latter. It is not for me to edit information for the readers. It is for the readers to edit the information for themselves. How arrogant and patronizing to think that I should keep information back from people because, quote, they're not ready for it. Who am I to decide that? And how can I know if they are, quote, ready for it unless they hear it and can therefore decide for themselves? Some of my friends have urged me to tell people the basic story, but for God's sake, don't mention the reptiles.
Okay. Hey, so the three of us are such adults. We can handle the truth. Unfettered.
Yeah, I believe so.
So David Icke is the progenitor of the lizard people conspiracy. Lizard Illuminati.
Yes.
He is the man who brought this to life. I'm sure many of us are familiar with it. I think all of us in this room at least.
I have some awareness of reptiles,
the reptilians,
the reptoids, there, hold on, the Saurians, the Draconians, any of these names.
Yes.
The Wikipedia page for reptilians has a nice little drawing of a tall reptile man and then a normal man for comparison, and the reptile's just, you know, like a couple feet taller than him. It's not even that big. But for some reason, they also bothered drawing the man's penis in the drawing, so I don't know why that.
Well, the reptile didn't have a penis. It's
true.
Yeah,
that's but it was really just sort of there to show the reptile's height, you know?
But I feel like it's also trying to show the contrast between the two, and that reptiles don't have penises.
Reptiles have penises.
Yeah, but it, that one didn't. The reptilians,
the draconians.
Sorry,
Or Saurians.
Saurians.
Saurian means like lizard-like.
All these things are correct.
Yeah,
but those
sure,
just those
sure,
just don't
sure.
have penises.
So David Icke, this is kind of what he's famous for today, but he's also had his mitts in the oven for a while.
You don't want your mitts in the oven.
That's kind of a euphemism.
That'll get too hot. You can't use them.
They're gonna catch fire.
His mitts are in the oven. His hands are in the mitts. They're in the oven. He's working in there.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a euphemism I made up on the spot. That's how I bake. You turn on the oven. You're in there the whole time, stirring, getting stuff ready.
Wow.
It's hard. Yeah, I've only baked once.
You know, I have watched you do stuff with an oven, and it's pretty absurd.
It
sounds about right.
It's such a great life. So
he's been around for a while, is what you're saying.
He's been around, like I said, you know, he came into the scene in 1991.
Year I was born.
There you go. He's been active your whole life. I want to talk about his early life too, because it's kind of interesting how he transitioned into from fame and becoming a conspiracy theorist. Because it was kind of like a turn for him. So he was born in 1952 in England. He's English. His birthday is April 29th. We just had his birthday, actually.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday,
yeah.
David.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
He's recently 66. So, yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Dope. Yeah, cool.
The middle child of three boys.
Nope. So he had a younger brother and an
older brother.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
That would be the middle.
His family was not rich. There's a quote from him. He says, "To say we were skint is like saying it is a little chilly at the North Pole."
Skint.
Skint must be like a word English people say.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. They lived in some slums and they moved around. He was a loner. As a kid, he spent hours playing with toy trains. He would cross the street rather than talk to people.
Same.
It says here he attended Whitehall Infant School. I don't know what that means. That's just a British thing, I guess.
Okay.
A school for babies, infants.
What is that like? Is it like kindergarten or something? Preschool? They just call it infant school?
Yeah, I get. I don't know. He had a tough childhood. He wasn't always the smartest. His dad was a little tough. I don't know if he was like actively abusive, but I think he was just a tough dad. And he had a hard time until he joined. When he was nine, he joined the school's football team, or you know, soccer. Because
oh, sure.
That's
yes,
what
yeah.
it's called.
Football.
Yeah, football.
Yeah, well, it's still called football, and
it is.
Still, yeah, you still just call it because it's English. Still.
I don't know why
football would
soccer.
Be like the Spanish version. No one knows why we call it soccer. No one.
not a single person.
So
on this
he
earth.
Ever
he joined, and this is became sort of his passion was playing soccer, and he was a goalie. And he liked being in the goal. It suited him. He felt like. Because you know he was sort of like a loner, and so he felt like that was his like
yeah,
striving
sure,
position because you're
sure.
alone in the goal.
Yeah, but yeah, because
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
a goalie, you're not with mm-hmm. anyone.
It says here he wrote, "It suited him because it gave him a sense of living on the edge between hero and villain." I don't really know what that means. Those are his words.
I think you should probably strive to be a hero and Not a villain, the villain at all. Goalie.
But like...
Like, what does a villain goalie do? Does he just like...
Let it go in? Yeah. Or is like, he is the hero because he prevents it, but he's also the villain because they're trying to get it in. Sure. And...
Oh, I see.
He's much more of a... You're much more of a character when you're a goalie than when you're just another person on the team.
Absolutely.
You know,
well,
like,
yeah.
Really a lot... You're the, like, the last line of defense. Like, a lot hangs in your hands.
How many goalies are on the team?
Well, one's playing at all times, but there's
one is
likely backup
times,
goalies.
But, yeah, but like, there's still just, like, one at all times, whereas there's a bunch of other people.
Yeah, and they... who like, soccer... It's not like baseball where everyone has a position on the field and is, like, your second base, your first base. Like,
right.
Soccer is, like, you are all the ball kickers. Like...
There's
I think I don't know
true.
A lot about soccer,
I'm,
but they all
sure
are the ball kickers.
Like,
they all do the same thing. They kick the ball.
They all
right. Soccer is like mess and then goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
yes.
mess and then goalie.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the
yeah.
field is like 4 miles long.
They still have positions.
Yeah, but they're made up. They don't really matter.
I've watched soccer, Brendan. It's a mess.
They still have positions.
And it's not even like football, where like football is you're trying to protect the one guy and like...
Right. Football makes more strategic sense than soccer does.
Look, let's just move on.
And like basketball. There's no positions in basketball.
People say there are, and
that's a lie.
Let's just move on.
Anyway.
People say there are, and then there's LeBron.
There's LeBron James.
Yeah.
What position does he play? No one
Best.
Knows because there's no positions.
Capital B.
So... David Icke, when he was 11, he failed his 11 plus exam, which is some exam you take when you're 11, probably.
When you exit infant school.
Yeah. He was sent to the city's Crown Hills Second Modern School, and then he kept playing soccer. The end of this is he left school at 15 and started playing kind of pro.
He just went pro.
Like, yeah,
I didn't realize he was this good.
I think there's a lot of tiers of pro, like soccer in England. Like, it's not like he was like playing for the Chicago Bulls, you know.
Yeah,
like he was
a basketball team.
maybe like a minor league soccer team. Because he was only 15 still. And
he's
so
drop out of high school to go quote pro.
I'ma go play football.
Well, he was getting paid to do it.
Of course. Yeah,
so,
no, I mean, I...
And he was doing shitty in school.
Pursue your dreams, man.
So he was pursuing his dreams.
Great goalie, bad student. What are you going to do?
He also played for Oxford United's reserve team. And
he was
North...
born in what year?
He was born in 52.
Yep.
Yeah, and so now he's 15.
Okay, so that's, what, like
67? 67.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And... So, man, now you made me lose my spot. Okay.
Sorry, I just wanted to know where we were in time.
Yeah, we're in 1967. So he's still playing goalie. And then he comes good old rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh boy.
Coming down the lane.
How old? When he's 15?
It
maybe a couple of years
started
later.
In his left knee. It spread to his right knee, ankles, elbows, wrist, and hands. That's about
life.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
this stopped his career a little short. He did continue to play part time for some team, and he was playing for a little while, and he was earning £33 a week, which does not sound like a lot to me, even though it was 1967. I don't really know the conversion rates to how much money he was really making a week, but that does not sound like a lot of money at all.
When I think it was like $1 was £2. No, other way around. When I was there.
Like,
no,
I think
that's,
now
mind.
A
it's
pound is about
much.
A dollar and a half now.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say he was making $50 a week. So, still, you know, maybe that was some money that, and he was still living with his parents at the time. And so.
Also, what is this, like the 60s?
Yeah.
So it was probably more money then.
Right,
than
exactly.
Now,
yeah, that's
sure.
what he was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he wasn't by any means rich. You know, he
sure.
was not rich and famous.
Sure.
So
what is our...
Eventually his arthritis got so bad that he did have to retire at the age of 21 in 1973. And so that was the end of his soccer football career.
Okay, well, that's unfortunate.
Right.
What did Mr. Icke do to pass time now?
Well, he actually, after that, his dad was actually pissed at him because
he got a disease.
Right. Yes. Yeah. His dad was pissed at him for quitting soccer because he couldn't do it anymore because he was diseased.
Toxic masculinity.
Yes, exactly. So he also got married when he was 19 to his wife Linda.
Are they still married?
They are not. but actually, they were married for a long time. They divorced in 2001. So it took her
a while to decide that it was. We'll get there, I'm sure.
They were married for almost 30 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, they got married in 71. They had a couple kids. They had a daughter in 1975, a son in 1981, and another son in 1992.
All right, well, things are looking up for him.
Uh-huh. I mean, he might not be able to play football.
We
skipped ahead a little bit in time, but
we're going to go back.
I mean, he might not be able to play football, but, like, you know, he's doing okay with his family life, right?
Yeah.
Happily married.
Still able to have kids.
So he worked at a travel agency for a little while. Eventually he started working for a newspaper as a reporter for like a sports reporter. Cause he had some experience with soccer and he still loved the game. And so he started doing that. And this worked out pretty well for him. He made his way up through the ranks there and eventually became like a TV announcer, you know, for sports.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's what a lot of people do.
A common trajectory. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Not a whole lot of people, but some people.
What I'm saying is that's what a lot of people do when they leave a sport.
Did play sports and now they're not playing
and
sports.
And now they're not playing sports, but they have a lot of insight into the sport.
Exactly.
So they, you know, try to announce or do coverage or something related to the sport because they like sports so much.
Uh-huh. He even wrote a book eventually. In 1983, he wrote his first book
about sports.
Not about conspiracies at all. It's called
Why would this man write about conspiracies?
Yeah, who knows? So, he wrote his first book called "It's a Tough Game, Son."
Oh man,
I love the son.
So
with an exclamation mark at the end.
It's
a tough game, son.
You know, was this a book to his son?
No. This was a book for everyone.
I was going to say there's that toxic masculinity popping up again, but the exclamation point actually makes it a little cute.
I really do love the title. Yeah. And it's about how to break into football, you know, and into soccer.
It's a tough game, son.
It's hard
to break into.
And he's not lying, and it's really hard when you have rheumatoid arthritis everywhere.
But if you read this book that you can buy for $10.99, you too.
I bet it didn't cost that much back then.
I don't know how much.
Yeah.
I don't. I don't have the price of "It's a Tough Game, Son."
The original market price.
I don't know how much a first edition copy of "It's a Tough Game, Son" goes for these days. I bet it's not much.
A New York Times bestseller.
Well, given the second wind of his life, perhaps
It might be, but I still think maybe not.
Okay. Fair.
Look, well, doing research for a lot of these things, you know, I've done research into people who have also been writers. It is so difficult to find some of the obscure writers, try and find their work, and, like, it's just so expensive. I'm just confused.
That's why Ike has put his books online for free. I think maybe "It's a Tough Game, Son" is online for free as a PDF as well.
Not only do they deserve to know about the reptiles, but...
They need to know how to break into football.
They also need to realize that soccer is a tough game to play. Son.
Only sons should read this book is probably the first line. So
there it is.
Like I said, he's doing well being a TV announcer. He announced for a snooker as well, which is like a billiards or pool game.
I've heard of the game.
Yeah.
I have not.
And he was also worked at the 1988 Summer Olympics.
Okay.
You know.
That's great.
Like announcing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, dude, you just go to the Olympics. I've never been to the Olympics. Have you been to the Olympics?
I have not.
Have you been to the Olympics?
No. What? No, I
haven't. Why are you thinking? You're either, you know if you have. Yeah, going to the Olympics is awesome, I'm sure.
I would.
Oh, and in 1976, this is backing up a little bit, he worked 2 months in Saudi Arabia helping with their soccer team.
Okay.
But then moved back because he missed his child.
Yeah.
Fair.
Of course, he misses his son.
Something I would say
is to tell him it's a tough game.
This sounds like not an easy, not an idyllic life, but certainly a nice one.
He had a little bit of a rough start, but you know, he made his way.
Yeah, he's doing things,
and he's getting a lot more popular than a lot of people are. He was a household name. People knew him. He said, there's a quote by him later that people would walk up to him on the street and shake his hand. I don't know that that's a thing that I would do if I saw like an announcer on the street.
Oh boy!
Hey there, Tom Brokaw.
You're the guy on the guy in the telly, right?
Right. You know, but David, it was probably Icke.
Because they called television the telly.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Thanks, Mr. Icke. You're real inspiration to everyone.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough game, son.
Oh, he said it. He says, oh!
But he did eventually start to get tired of working in TV.
Why?
And he... Also interesting, he joined the Green Party. He was sort of an environmentalist.
Okay.
Isn't that an American political party?
Says that he joined the Green Party here on the internet.
Must not be.
Well, it definitely is. I think it's just both.
I see. Yeah, perhaps a branch.
Yeah.
Two things. UK. Where they can have minimal influence in two places instead of just one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In 1990, his name appeared on advertisements for a children's charity alongside Audrey Hepburn and Woody Allen and other celebrities. Their names were also there.
I was excited about that, and then...
Well, okay, I'm just saying...
No, sure. He's a big deal.
He was on tier with the fame of these people somewhat because he was on the same thing
absolutely.
As them.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, people are going to read that, you know, thing and be like, oh, dude, Audrey Hepburn's going to be here. Woody Allen and...
David
Icke.
Icky.
Cool, I guess. And then someone from like the back of the room is gonna be like, "You dude, that's that guy from
the guy from the news. It's the tough. I read that book. It's a tough game,
son.
Here is where we start to get into it. And this is a line I like to draw that David Icke is into conspiracies and the reptilian hypothesis exists because he got arthritis. And it's because it says here, the line here is Icke began to flirt with alternative medicine in the 1980s. I don't know how you flirt with alternative medicine, but he got interested in alternative medicine because he wanted to cure his arthritis because he was in pain.
Chris, come on. It's just a phrase.
I know. It's just a phrase. Just like keeping your mitts in the oven. It's just a phrase.
I don't know if that one's real.
Go ahead.
Icke wrote in 1989 that despite his successful media career, it was a time of considerable personal despair. And it was during this period that he began to feel a presence around him.
Okay.
He describes how it felt that he was once alone in a hotel room in 1990. And he finally just said, if there is anybody here, will you please contact me because you are driving me up the wall? Days later, he felt a force. It says here, pull his feet to the ground. I guess he was floating.
He was sitting, maybe?
I don't know. But he felt a force pull him towards some books. And one of them was Mind to Mine by Betty Shine, who was a psychic healer.
Dope.
And then he read the book, and then he wrote her requesting a consultation about his arthritis.
Okay.
So, you know, he's going to a psychic healer to fix his arthritis.
Yeah.
Because he was alone and felt pulled to some books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds normal.
He visited Shine, the psychic, four times. During the third meeting, Shine told him she had a message from the spirit world for him, that Icke had been sent to heal the earth and would become famous but would face opposition. The spirit world was going to...
He was famous.
He always was, but now he's going to start facing opposition. And this is true.
What, that he faced opposition?
He does. He will come to face some opposition.
don't know. The Saurian seem credible.
She told him the spirit world was going to pass ideas to him, which he would speak about to others. He would write 5 books in 3 years. I think he ended up writing much more than that. In 20 years, a new flying machine would allow us to go wherever we wanted, and time would have no meaning. There would be earthquakes in unusual places because the inner earth was being destabilized from having oil taken from the seabed. In 1991, in February, Ike visited a pre-Inca burial ground in Peru, where he felt particularly drawn to a circle of waist-high stones. As he stood in the circle, he had two thoughts: that people would be talking about this in 100 years, and that it would be over when it rained. His body shook as though plugged into an electrical socket, he wrote, and new ideas poured into him. And then it started raining, and the experience ended. And he felt this moment triggered him into a higher level of consciousness.
So he is basically ascended.
Yeah, he ascended.
He is better than us. He has more what, wiseness?
Mm-hmm. Wisdom?
That's the word. Wiseness.
He's upped his wiseness.
It's been a long day. It's been a long day.
That's what we're here for, Brendan. No worries.
All right. This here followed what Ike calls his turquoise period.
Is that like turquoise album? Like the Beatles? Did they make their albums after colors?
They have the white album.
Okay. I'm thinking of Weezer, actually. Wow, someone is screaming right now. Someone's really upset.
Somebody has the blue period. I think it's Picasso, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's also a thing.
Anyway, this was his turquoise period.
Okay, great. Period. Right. Yeah.
He
okay.
had... during this time, he found out that he was the son of the Godhead.
How did he find that out?
What does that mean?
So he found this out through, it was just, like, given to him. It says he received a message through automatic writing. So the Godhead is basically just God. Okay. Like he just calls it.
So he is the infinite mind.
Yes, basically he's the son of God. He found out
the new Jesus.
He's the new Jesus.
Okay, but what the fuck is automatic writing?
It's kind of like speaking in tongues, but with writing. Like you close your eyes and your hand goes whoa 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 whoa. You're the son of the Godhead.
Okay, got it.
Have you seen the movie Knowing?
Nicolas
Cage and Rose Byrne.
You know, I have not, but I think I know where you're going. I have seen that movie.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. But like this is at the very beginning of the movie, so I'm not really spoiling anything. At the very beginning of the movie, you have young children who start writing numbers and just a long sequence of numbers.
Yes.
And then Nicolas Cage's character then deciphers what those numbers mean, and it's like a bunch of
There's a plane crash.
Yeah, there's a big
plane
crash.
Yes, yeah.
And basically, it points to a bunch of disasters and everything. But, that'd be automated writing because the kids are just doing it. They don't know why it's coming.
It's being channeled through them.
Channeled through
the Godhead is sending information through them.
Exactly.
In that movie, the Godhead was aliens.
Well,
I already said spoiler alert before this, so we're golden.
All right. Well,
no one's gonna watch that movie. Also,
yeah,
it's not a good movie.
No, it's a great film.
We should all watch it. So I mentioned this was his turquoise period, and that's because during this time he only wore turquoise.
Turquoise socks, turquoise underwear.
He like, as far as I know, just like turquoise tracksuits, like a windbreaker, and then like windbreaker material pants that were just bright turquoise.
Awesome.
Good.
Really a sight to be seen. Like,
do you have pictures?
There are images of David Icke wearing turquoise. I don't have them at my disposal, but you could find some. Anyone could find them.
I feel like that should be like the picture for the episode.
It should be. It will be. So he wore turquoise. He believed it was a conduit for positive energy. He believed that all different colors like channeled different energies that were flowing through the world. And so if you wore turquoise, that was like the color of love energy, and so you were like absorbing love energy. He thought that like black, you know, was like the opposite of that. If you wore black, you were absorbing like evil energies and hate. And around this time, he also met another psychic, Deborah Shaw, who he invited to live in his home, with apparently the blessing of his wife. They had a short-lived arrangement that the press called the Turquoise Triangle.
So there's just a woman who just started living.
And he had a child with her as well.
A psychic.
He kind of had two wives for a minute.
Okay. And both of them were okay with it.
Apparently.
Well.
Eventually, the psychic did leave his house becoming pregnant and gave birth to their daughter. And Ike only saw this daughter once at the request of the psychic. That's pretty much the end of that. That's just like sort of a little tangent, like another weird thing that happened.
Cool. That's also a very weird
cool
thing.
Little twist.
Yeah. I don't know much else about that one.
So, sorry. I just want to clarify your language. He did not want to see the child. The psychic wanted him to see the child at least once.
The psychic didn't
want him to see
The psychic didn't want him to see this child generally, and he saw the child once.
Got it.
Is what
okay.
I know.
Okay, great.
So in March 1991, Ike resigned from the Green Party.
Peace.
Okay.
During a press conference telling them that he was about to be the center of a tremendous and increasing controversy, and he got a standing ovation afterwards.
That's probably good for the Green Party.
What you're saying is he decided to be the goalie. And just take the hit
for the Green Party.
Yeah.
By leaving the Green Party.
Because he knew there was going to be so much heat and he didn't want them to.
He left a party full of kickers and left them without a goalie.
So a week later, he had another press conference. Wherein his wife was there and also Deborah Shaw, the psychic, was there. They announced that Ike was the son of the Godhead.
Wait, how long had they been sitting on this knowledge up to that point?
Well, he figured it out still recently.
So he went
to Peru in February 1991, and then March 1991 he had these press conferences.
So people were just like, oh man, we gotta go to this. Like, how does someone organize a press conference?
This is also a question I have. Like, how are you? I guess if you're important enough, you can just like tell the press, "Hey, everyone, I'm gonna come out and say something tomorrow. That's gonna be cool," and they'll just trust you and all show up. I don't really know how it happens, but it happens.
because I feel like this guy is no longer doing TV anymore. He's kind of like washed up.
Well, and about it. A week before this, he told the world, "Hey, I'm leaving the Green Party because I'm going to be the center of a great controversy."
He told the Green Party that he was leaving.
There was some press there.
It gained some traction, and now everybody's like, "What the fuck is this controversy going to be?"
What is this?
I feel like this could be 100% wrong, but I feel like what happened here was that like. This guy who like, you know, people knew he joined the Green Party and like people kind of forgot about him. And then he was like, "Look, I'm in a political party and, you know, shit's about to go down. So I'm going to tell everyone in this political party that shit's going to go down."
Well, but he held a press conference saying he was leaving the Green Party, right?
Well, it says here a party conference, so maybe party. This is all, I don't really know of this matters.
We're getting it lost in the weeds, I'm sorry.
So,
go ahead.
He announces at this second press conference that he is the son of the Godhead. He told reporters the world was going to end in 1997. It would be.
Did the world end in 1997?
I'll have to look that up. I don't remember. I didn't actually get firm information. I kept Googling, did the world end in 1997? And no, I got no firm yes or no.
It feels like it a little bit. But
Okay.
I don't know.
I just wanted to check.
Yeah. So that everyone keep your eye out for that information.
keep your eye out for 19.
It'll be in the show notes.
Still exist.
In what? Like a thousand, a million. A thousand, what? A million years. In a million years. Check back.
In okay, great.
1997 of like the next instance of 1997.
1,997 that year.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That year. Look out for that year.
Okay. Great. There was going to be a hurricane around the Gulf of Mexico and New Orleans. Eruptions in Cuba. I guess they mean volcanic eruptions. Disruption in China, a hurricane in Derry, an earthquake on the Isle of Iran. He told everyone that he was getting this information through voices and automatic writing. He said Los Angeles would become an island, New Zealand would disappear, and the cliffs of Kent would be underwater by Christmas. So he's you know, dooms.
Did any of this happen?
Dooms. Oh, I went over. I don't. No, none of this happened, Brent. None of this happened. Okay.
Was one of those towns called Derry?
Derry. D-E-R-R-Y. Yes. Derry.
Derry.
Derry. Get it. That's like a recent meme where the Irish people are trying to catch that bat in their house. And he's like, Derry, get him. Derry. Oh, no. That's a funny one.
I was just asking because there's a town in many Stephen King novels called Derry. Derry, Maine. But it's not spelled that way, so. I was just wondering if he mistook a town in a Stephen King novel for real.
No, I think it's a real place.
All right.
So about a month later, April 29th, 1991, is when it really, like, he had an interview on a primetime interview show called Wogan, hosted by Terry Wogan. So, you know, it's Terry Wogan's show. It's called Wogan.
Hey, Wogan.
And this was his, like turning point for his previous like fame and career into his new life as a conspiracy theorist. He walks in, like Terry Wogan introduces, like says to the audience, the world as we know it is about to end. And then like, introduces David Icke, and David Icke comes in dressed completely in turquoise. They sit and they have a conversation for about 15 minutes, and where Icke tells everyone that he is the son of the Godhead and that he wears turquoise because it gives him love energy, and that the world has too much evil flowing through it, and that is why there's about to be all these eruptions and earthquakes and whatnot, because literally it's like a soda bottle that you shook up too much. There's too much pressure. There's too much evil pressure in the core of the earth, and so it's about to erupt out. And so that's why these things are happening.
I think we just need to, you know, realize that if you shake up too much evil pressure, you know, and you keep it all bottled up, you really just gotta, you know, let it out, and
you gotta release the evil.
You gotta
sometimes.
Release the evil.
You're talking
sometimes.
Like purge it, like the film The Purge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, or just like releasing pressure, like any sort of closed system that releases its pressure to the outside. Systems.
We here at Mulder Was Right
are a closed system.
We are a closed system, and we believe in the purge.
That's an official Mulder Was Right stance, as Brandon shakes his head horribly, making hand motions that no one can see that in the recording. So he's saying, and he makes some in this interview, he makes some comparisons to the Bible, that there is like a being that's kind of like Satan, and the being is actually called Lucifer. He specifically says he's not called Satan, he's called Lucifer. He makes that distinction, and that it is the opposite of the Godhead, and that Lucifer is trying to channel evil energy through the world, and is trying to live off of this evil energy. And that when, like, for instance, if you feel angry, then you are putting out evil energy to the world, and that's making Lucifer happy. Sure. And also, like, Lucifer is putting out evil energy in the world, and then you're affected by that, and then that's making you angry too. And then sort of a battle between Lucifer and the Godhead. And so the audience is kind of like, laughing at him.
Receptive? Oh, no, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I thought they would receive this knowledge.
Yeah. Sure.
Openly.
They're laughing. So. And so he makes an appeal to the audience at some point. He turns to them and he says, you know, this all sounds silly, but when you survey the world today, you know, when a child dies in this world of preventable disease every 2 seconds, when the economic system of the world must destroy the earth simply for that system to survive, when you see all the wars and when you see all the pain and when you see all the suffering, is it a force of love and wisdom and tolerance that is in control of this planet? Or is it a force that wishes to bring about the very hate, the very aggression, the very suffering? And there was like a silence after he said that, that everyone was like, oh man.
Dang, I got to think about that.
And so he was sort of capitalizing on like the horrors of the world, and trying to prove his point and his, godness. From that, he went on to say that when we think, it's not like a vacuum. It's not just held in our minds. It creates an energy field and it goes out into the world. Not dissimilar from the idea of Vril. Our episode on Vril has some concepts like that. And people are still just sort of laughing at him the whole time, you know, though, because he's still saying crazy shit and people are just laughing. And he says, and this is just like on primetime television, you know, this is like basically David Letterman, some guy.
Very wild.
Here. Yes. And so he says, the best way of removing negativity is to laugh and be joyous. So I'm delighted that there's so much laughter in the audience tonight.
He's like, look, I understand you're laughing at me, but this is good because we're expelling that evil energy. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Good job.
And there's actually the famous line from this interview. After Ike says that, the host, Terry Wogan, says, but they're laughing at you. They're not laughing with you. And then there was just like,
yeah, because David Icke wasn't laughing.
and then there was just like uproarious applause and laughter after Wogan said that.
That was pretty savage.
It was savage, but there was also like this pity in Wogan's voice when he says it. And he's just like, but they're not laughing with you. They're laughing at you, David. You know, like one of those moments. And it was rough. And to which David Icke says, you know, he goes on in the interview and he says, like, that's fine. I understand that people are going to laugh at me. You know, I can't come out here and say all this and expect to not be laughed at. But then he also says, like, you guys are like, Jesus Christ got laughed at. Like, apparently we haven't evolved much.
Okay, guy.
Right. Anyway, this interview happened, and the interview, like I said, that happened at about like the 6 minute mark. The interview went on for like 15 minutes. Some people like criticized this TV show for allowing the interview to go on this long. I'm not sure which perspective it was from, but I can see it from two perspectives of like, you're allowing this crazy person to put all their thoughts out in the world and to give them a platform for something they have no evidence for. And then there's also like the pity for David Icke, who like is maybe not in his right mind and maybe like should not be put on the stage where everyone can ridicule him. And the interview was devastating for Icke's reputation. He was no longer the pleasant household name. People did not shake his hand on the street anymore. Instead, they pointed at him.
Children.
They hid their children and they laughed at him. There's a quote from him. He says, one of my very greatest fears as a child was being ridiculed in public. I mean, and of course, like that's everyone's fucking fear. So you're not that unique, Ike. and there it was coming true. As a television presenter, I'd been respected. People would come up to you in the street and shake your hand and talk to you in a respectful way. And suddenly overnight, this was transformed into Ike's a nutter. I couldn't walk down any street in Britain without being laughed at. It was a nightmare. My children were devastated because their dad was a figure of ridicule.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, it must suck to be David Icke, but it also must suck to be David Icke's children.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah.
Your dad's crazy.
Your dad's the son of the Godhead.
What does that mean?
So... This is where, and then from now on, Ike is a conspiracy theorist, and He's full in it. His life has changed. And so it's a really interesting shift to me. Like his going from like a mainstream personality and then flipping to like saying really ridiculous things. He wrote, like I said, he wrote a lot of books. Let me see if I can find like a list of his books. Yeah, it's a whole lot. So he wrote, his first book was It's a Tough Game, Son. And then after that, he wrote a book about like green politics, like about being in the Green Party. And then his first like conspiracy, like crazy book, if you want to call it that, is The Truth Vibrations in 1991. And then Love Changes Everything, 1992. 1993, he wrote In the Light of Experience, the autobiography of David Icke, which seems a little early to write your autobiography,
yeah.
Considering...
Yeah, how old was he at this point?
You know, he was like 40 or something, so... Anyway, then he wrote Days of Decision, Heal the World, The Robot's Rebellion, and The Truth Shall Set You Free, I Am Me, I Am Free, Lifting the Veil, The Biggest Secret, Children of the Matrix, Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster, Tales from the Time Loop, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, David Icke Guide to the Global Conspiracy, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More, Remember Who You Are, Remember Where You Are. You get the idea. He wrote a lot of books after that.
I'm sorry, you left off the best one, which is... Perception, deception, or it's all bollocks.
M-dash, yes, all of it.
I'm a big fan of Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center.
Yep. So he actually had, like, he started putting these books out, and they were getting published by actual publishers. And then after a little while,
I've seen that too. Yeah.
He started having trouble finding publishers to publish his book and started having to like self-publish them or go to like really way lower publishers.
And that's why they're all online for free now.
Yeah. And that's maybe, he goes on tour, and he has been for a long time, and he still does. And he brings his books with him and he sells them there. And during this period, he started getting, some bad press. No, not death threats. Because he wrote the book, The Robots Rebellion, in 1994. This attracted allegations that he was being anti-Semitic. This is kind of where he started going into, a New World Order, Illuminati type stuff. It's unclear exactly when he brought in the reptiles, at least from my research. Certainly by his next couple books, he had been talking about it. But the main issue here is he cites a source in this book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, from supposedly 1897. And this is an anti-Semitic text supposedly describes a Jewish plan for a global domination. Supposedly it describes the minutes from a meeting, like what was happening in this meeting of like high Jewish leaders and their plans to like, we're going to take over the world and whatnot. It has been, again and again proven to be fabricated, to be, made up likely by, some Russians, in the early, like in like 1902 or 1903 or something. Due to just cause people didn't like the Jews in that area of Russia then. It has been many times again, proven to be just completely fabricated and made up, which is everyone's main issue, is that he's citing the source claiming it's true when it's very clearly not true. And that made everyone, that made a lot of people not very happy with David Icke. there's a documentary, like sort of like a TV documentary, done in 2001 about David Icke, tracks his journey. He's on tour, and he's going to, Toronto, I think. He's going through like Canada. I watched it. I just can't remember where in Canada he was. I think it's Toronto. If I'm wrong, then I'll point it out later. But he's going through, and it kind of like, and they're just interviewing David Icke and following him around. And then also they are interviewing these people that are trying to stop David Icke from talking because they believe he's being anti-Semitic, in his works. And this documentary makes comparisons of, there's this big question at this point, he's openly talking about reptiles, and about the reptilian overlords. And, I'll get to this in a second. So the main crutch of this documentary is like, when he talks about reptiles, is he actually talking about Jewish people, or is he literally talking about reptiles?
Like, which is better,
right?
Honestly,
and is it a metaphor for Jewish people, or is it not, or does he think all Jewish people are reptiles? Does he just think high-tier Jewish people are reptiles? Is he still anti-Semitic if he just hates the high-tier Jewish people? And, like, there's all these, like, wrinkles, and kind of, like, the end conclusion is that, yeah, he's still pretty kind of being anti-Semitic. But he's very he comes right out, and all of his supporters will come right out and say that he has no problem with Jewish people.
He just thinks there are reptiles.
He just thinks that there are reptiles controlling the government and that some of them happen to be Jewish people. Another problem and wrinkle here is that there's like a fair number of really like far right, like extremists that like visited his like shows, his talks, you know, literally like Nazis. Neo-Nazis that would like come to his shows. So that was another problematic thing. And he even claimed some of this was a conspiracy against him. He claimed that this was the Illuminati, the reptiles, plotting against him by creating this Nazi group and sending those Nazis to his show so that they could discredit him. And so they follow Ike's talk, and they also follow the people who are trying to stop Ike from talking, and those people actually do succeed a fair amount. They call a couple radio stations that he's gonna give talks at. They call bookstores where he's gonna go and give a talk and sell his books, and he is actually turned away from several of these places he shows up, and they say, actually, no, you can't do this, we changed our mind, because the people called up and said, hey, David Icke's really anti-Semitic.
Okay.
And then David Icke, you know, of course, sees this and says, they're trying to shut me down. And he goes all off and he's yelling at people for no reason. There's actually this funny part where the liberals have come up with this plot to throw a pie at him. he's finally giving this reading in a bookstore, and it's like crowded, there's like a bunch of people there to like see him, to like support him, and like the liberals come up and they're dressed like lizards and they're all like, haha, we're lizards. then like one of the guys starts saying, let's talk about your anti-Semitism, David. And then everyone in the crowd starts booing. And then as they're distracted, someone throws a pie and kind of hits his arm a little bit. And he's kind of like, oh, I got cream on my arm. And then the liberals run out, and then, the presenter of the documentary, the narrator, is trying to sort of be like, he's telling the story, like trying to be sort of like neutral. He's not sure if Icke is being anti-Semitic, or if he just thinks that these are reptiles.
Absolutely.
And it is a difficult, like, wrinkly argument there because of just how ridiculous it is. And, you know, but at the same time, like, you can kind of see both sides. Like, he's clearly citing this, like, proven false anti-Semitic work. Go ahead.
So when he's citing this, do they mention reptiles in this?
No, it's just Jews there.
Just Jews talking about controlling the world.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reptiles thing is something he came up with, mostly, man. Like in terms of being like a reality. It's hard to know if he like came up with it. Cause of course there are like instances of humanoid reptiles in like fictions in the past. But he really brought it to popularity. You know, he's the one that, saw reptile, like, you know, wants everyone to know that the reptilians are controlling the government and they are the Illuminati. Anyway, so the narrator of this documentary, eventually at the end, he tells you this at the end of the documentary. He sees he's listening to some of like Ike's like group posse groupies kind of who are like traveling with him or just his fans. I'm not really sure, but like they are like closely connected to him kind of. He hears them like talking about some of the liberal protesters, like those fucking Jews, basically is what they said, and like being openly anti-Semitic. And then those people realize that the cameras weren't on, but realize that the man, the documenter, is there and heard them. And then they suddenly like shut up and were like very quiet. He tells the viewer this, as sort of like a final piece of like evidence, and sort of lets it be at that. So there's that, as well. To this day, Ike, of course, I went on his Twitter and he still has like, he just posts a bunch of like image macro memes of like, you know, here's a picture of some people starving and then like, and they call me anti-Semitic, but they're not paying attention to like the real problems of the world or something, you know. But he still denies being anti-Semitic, and still, you know, claims that the real problem is the reptiles. And so maybe like he's anti-Semitic and doesn't even know he's anti-Semitic. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Because he's so focused like, on the reptiles, he doesn't even realize.
He doesn't realize that he doesn't like Jewish people. He's just like, no, they're just all reptiles. Like, what?
I don't like reptiles. Jewish people may be reptiles. I guess I don't like them, but
yeah.
But it's not because they're Jewish. It's because they're reptiles.
Yeah. It's a slippery little guy there.
You were saying earlier that you were thinking that maybe he started to believe all of this because of his arthritis. He saw it like a cure,
right. Well,
or like
got,
a salve.
Yeah, he
for
got
his
into
arthritis.
Alternative medicine because of his arthritis. And, you know, this
Which is
what led him to that psychic who sort of like
lit a fire under him. Yeah.
Put him down this path.
That's
interesting.
That's the turning point.
Yeah. And that's really, that is really interesting to me.
Because he grew up poor, right? And so he wasn't super empowered from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And so it isn't unreasonable to then latch on to some ideas that might help you be more empowered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
But instead it's just like this, like trying to solve your arthritis and then learning you're the son of Jesus, the son of God is sort of the mythic path in itself.
It's interesting how our psychologies like bring these things out, like just a little thing. It's like, oh man, I wish my shoulder didn't hurt. And then you go to a psychic and she like strokes your ego a little bit and you're like, oh man. And like all of these like past traumas and issues like coalesce together and convince you that you're the son of God, you know, and it's especially interesting because, you know, he was doing okay in life. Like he had kind of made it, like it had worked out for him. He was a high leader, a high member of the Green Party. He was a respected newscaster. He worked on the Olympics. Like he was doing fine. Like he wasn't just in the slums anymore.
Exactly. He's
he was
like
married,
he's
had
like
kids. Like
he's made it.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
He was living the American
dream.
The
English dream.
Yeah,
he couldn't play anymore, but
he
was still
too,
in the sphere.
You know that his passion, the thing he did love, was sort of taken from him
and early, fast,
yeah, and quickly, yeah. And that he then kind of had to live on the outskirts of it and work from there. So it is that path that I got originally drawn to David Icke because of course he's the progenitor of reptilians and I wanted to talk about reptilians, but then like his past just became so interesting that I figured I'd just talk about him himself
Yeah.
And then we'll get to reptilians in another episode.
And then, like, the reptilians are a part of it, and they're there. But, and like I said, the joke about the reptiles is there. It's played out. Like, they're, you know, it's funny because they're reptiles. And literally, like, in the same documentary I was talking about, they bother to go interview Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones of their Turn of the Frickin' Frogs gay fame.
Wait, maybe you're getting to it. Go ahead.
Anyway, so they interview Alex Jones and like they ask him like, how do you feel about David Icke? And he's Alex Jones said he he, as Texan as he possibly could, he pulled up a metaphor about like he says David Icke has made this like great like fruit punch, and he's got it in a nice punch bowl, and it's got nice ice, and it's flavored really well. And then David Icke just goes and takes a shit in the punch bowl. And no one wants to drink the punch anymore. And what Alex Jones is trying to say is that Alex Jones agrees with him that there is a worldwide conspiracy, a new world order, but does not agree with him about the reptilians. He says, like, the reptilians is too much of a distraction, that it does not need to be there. There is no, it has to be completely made up. How could you even possibly believe in this? And Alex Jones described David Icke as simply just like an opportunistic con man that was just trying to get people's attention.
And Alex Jones.
Alex Jones described David Icke as an opportunistic con man. This is like, they don't, like, the conspiracy world is so fractured and is not like this whole thing. And you
they're not united at all. They're fighting amongst themselves.
And the reality probably is that Alex Jones believes in the reptiles, but is like the people who David Icke spoke about in his introduction, where he was like,
please don't mention the reptiles.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I know it's real, but like, we just can't go there.
It's too much. And too much for the people to swallow.
Yeah. And yeah, David Icke is like patient zero for why that shouldn't happen. Why you should not talk about the reptiles.
Right. And
he's not getting anything done.
And yet still he does have a fair following.
Okay, good. Yeah. Some woke fellas.
Yeah. Like I said, he goes on tour. He fills.
Did you say he has a Twitter?
He has a Twitter. I'm going to go there in a second.
Okay, that's fine.
He goes on tour and he like he fills like theaters full of people, and he talks for fucking ever. He talks for like eight hours at a time, just like talking at people, just telling them his shit, his conspiracy shit, like about the reptiles and whatnot.
Oh, man,
this happens
know.
With a lot of the big conspiracy people.
Yeah,
like I mean, you know, for. Prime example here is Alex Jones has a daily show where he just talks about stuff.
And he has a store.
And he has a store where you can buy like apocalypse preparation stuff. And a lot of the TV that you see is just ads. That's a lot of his InfoWars stuff.
Yeah.
Is that the Joker on David Icke's?
That I don't know. That's something that doesn't make sense.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and also funny, if you look through David Icke's Twitter, he's not a fan of Donald Trump.
Interesting.
So that's another interesting split. He's not a fan of vaccines.
Does he think that Donald Trump is a reptile?
Likely. He likely thinks Donald Trump is a reptile or simply a puppet. He says, like, his main claim is that the reptilians, the Illuminati, the ones really controlling the scene aren't, like, the ones exposing themselves to the world. They are hidden, and they have these puppets out here doing things, and all the world leaders are their puppets, you know. And he has 191,000 followers on Twitter, so, you know, that's a fair number. He has tweeted 34,500 times.
He has only liked things 74
times.
Well,
he doesn't really know how to use Twitter. He's an old man, so he just knows how to type and press enter, and then people follow him. So
I like to imagine old people who don't know how to use Twitter are the most furiously like they like everything and just like retweet everything.
Yeah,
like,
I really do sometimes wonder about how Donald Trump uses Twitter.
We talked about this a little bit. didn't we?
Yeah, that he must do it so poorly, and it must be someone's job to help him. And that when Kofifi happened, they were sick or something, they got fired. Yeah, or something. Yeah.
Kofifi.
A couple other fun facts about David Icke. He believes the moon is hollow. He thinks it's a spaceship that the reptilians used to get here, sort of. And he thinks it's also part of like some resonance thing that's like making us all stupid, and ricocheting beams from Saturn or something that's making us all dumb.
From Saturn.
And he has some shit about Saturn too that I'm not sure about. But like, yeah, he thinks the moon is a big hollow spaceship. He's pretty sure about that. He cites like some is like when I'm pretty sure when I was looking up the episode we did about the moon not being real, when I was researching that, I ran into a little bit of the Icke's theories about the moon being hollow. And it was something like when like the Apollo crafts landed on the moon, they heard a big like gong or something like some sort of big hollow noise was made, which is like a really ridiculous thing.
He sacrificed the common like conspiracy theory that we didn't land on the moon and just like made it. They heard a
bong.
Did a very hollow noise.
Kind of sounded hollow there, which, man, you know, I don't really, and I don't know if he meant like a literal sound they heard, because of course they're in space, there's no sound, or if like something that was felt or detected somehow. That's just sort of in the back of my memory.
Really good.
Did David Icke try and throw a rock at the moon?
He may have tried to throw a rock at the moon to test if it's really there. I don't know, but I don't know who did that experiment, so it may have been David Icke. But I think David Icke believes the moon is there. It's just hollow in a spaceship.
The Son of God should be able to throw a rock
hard enough to hit the moon. Yeah.
Yes, he probably didn't do this experiment.
No, he probably didn't, because he would have hit the moon.
He would have hit the moon.
Okay, and the person who did this experiment did not hit the moon. With a rock, a donut, a brick, any of the things they threw at the moon, they did not hit the moon.
Couldn't hit the moon, therefore it's not there.
Yeah. That is my favorite part of that conspiracy. So just a little, just to round out, like, what are the reptilians? Like, where'd they come from? Well, they are from another dimension and also another planet. They're fourth dimensional beings, and they're controlling us third dimensional beings. And then also there's some fifth dimensional beings controlling them.
What is the fifth dimension?
Don't know.
What is...
It's probably like love or some bullshit.
Dimension.
So a lot of people say that, you know, we're actually... fourth dimensional beings, where we have, you know, our three dimensions here and then time being the fourth dimension.
No, I see. Okay. All right. Okay.
So, I mean, and like, I don't even know if I believe that. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's real. But
I mean, it's all semantics anyway. Like, you're just calling shit stuff.
It is very much all semantics, but like, I really want to know the semantics behind what's the fifth dimension.
I don't know. And here's it's like when conspiracy theorists talk about dimensions, they're kind of just like pulling it out of their ass as like some easy,
like the rest of us.
Yeah. Like anyone, but like they really mean it. And and fair. So when people ask like David Icke, how did the reptiles get here? And he's well, they like use the dimensions or they just traveled fast because they have good technology or whatever. And they've been here. They take human form.
They're not like wearing bags shaped like humans.
Take human form, and they do this through
what are they, like chameleons?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. They drink the blood of children.
This is why we don't like them.
I've said uh-oh a lot, but that's the first real uh-oh I've actually had. That's really not good.
And this gives them sort of their shape-shifting powers. And part of like David Icke's evidence for this is that he's like, I've talked to many people who have seen people turn into lizards. And he says, like, the first time you hear it, you're like, oh, man, that's crazy. And the second time, you're like, yeah, that's still crazy. But then the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the sixth. And he goes up to, like, six or seven or eight. And that's still not enough times, David. That's, like, if nine people came up to me and said, we all saw someone transform into a lizard, I'd say, all of you are crazy. That would not be enough people.
All nine of you.
All nine of you are wrong.
How many people do you need?
And that's interesting. I'm not sure there's enough people in the whole world. But maybe if like a kabillion people, if like suddenly like every single person on Twitter was just like, yo, I just saw someone turn into a lizard. Like that would be
then, yeah, maybe
that'd be a lot. Like that'd be enough people if it was like
God.
The whole of Twitter and all posting at once about someone turning into a lizard.
Number one trending topic: lizards,
lizard people.
Trump's like, Ivanka just turned into a lizard.
Guys, I don't know what to do. Yeah, that's what David Icke's been up to.
His whole life.
That's been David Icke's life. He's an old man now. He's 66, but he's still kicking. And like, man, you can learn more about the reptiles and the reptilians. He does talk a little bit about Nibiru, interestingly.
Okay.
What's that?
Nibiru is the planet that was supposed to crash into Earth and kill us in September.
Happen.
That was just, yo, that was just,
I,
that
I
was
didn't
just
know
a
about
rumored
that?
Date.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. So
that was,
could still happen.
Yes. That was one person saying that this will happen.
Yeah.
But there are other people who haven't given dates.
Right.
I see.
Yes.
That
I
was
see.
Just one person throwing out a date.
What a whirlwind. I learned about it. And then you said it was supposed to happen in September. Didn't. I was like, wow, now you're telling me it might. Still
dodged
happen
it. but yeah it's
might
a
still happen.
It's
okay,
it's a planet that,
it's a rogue planet in our solar system that's hidden from us, and NASA's hiding it from us.
Fuck,
and it's either gonna run into us or it's gonna pass by us and fuck up all our shit, or there's like aliens
that's
living there that
dope.
That are coming
well that's kind of
from
dope.
There and yeah. Like we pass near it every once in a while.
And
yeah,
is it Nibiru?
Nibiru.
Oh, okay.
Nibiru.
Yeah,
Nibiru.
Yeah, yeah.
Nibiru, while that's its own conspiracy theory, it is referenced in a lot of other ones, and it like doesn't hold up with the other conspiracy theories. Like other
they're just like, wow, this is so cool. We gotta slot this in.
Yeah, exactly. They'll mention it, and then I'm like, that's not related to the other ones about that. About Nibiru.
Yeah,
it's like an ancient like Sumerian myth or something, and that might not
oh,
even be
I
the
see.
Right culture, but
okay,
like it
sure.
is an ancient myth sure. also, and that's also like David Icke is he receives things that are, you know, quote unquote like channeled through him from the Godhead, and he also like does some like ancient research from like old documents that have been disproven or just like old ancient religions, and then does a lot of extrapolating to get most of his information. And so,
I too have tried to write a sci-fi novel.
Yeah. Does not fit the standard of like scientific proof. That's for certain. And yeah, like a lot of these conspiracy theorists would just do better just being a sci-fi author, and like they don't have to be crazy then.
And yeah, frankly, like
hate
a
it so much.
Moon that's like a spaceship. That's like that's cool.
It's cool.
Also, just
right.
like a under the radar planet that's like floating around and doing a bunch of shit. It's got aliens, whatever. That's also cool.
Yeah, and it's fanciful, and yeah. That's why people like it. Like most things.
So earlier in the episode, I went on Google and I Googled David Icke turquoise.
You know, I also tried to do that. I did not find.
I want to point out that it is the same turquoise tracksuit.
Every time?
Every time.
It's likely he found the one that worked for him. Yep, that's the one he wears in this interview.
My favorite thing about this tracksuit, oh wow, is the stripe.
Yeah, the pink stripe.
It's got a pink stripe around the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, I couldn't find any information about the pink stripe. I was curious what he thought, that it was not perfectly turquoise, that had a little bit of pink on it.
It's hard to find an entirely turquoise thing.
Maybe that was just it, but I'm sure he had some sort of justification, like, well, it's just a touch of like of this other kind
of
energy that's also good.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's
a
just
little,
it's just
a
like
bit of flavor in my
a little
love.
Bit of Parmesan on the spaghetti,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
The spaghetti of turquoise. so Yep. He's
Wow, that's a lot of turquoise you just pulled up on that.
I think Brendan's trying to pull some up for the stream.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull some up for the stream.
And like he looks so happy in that turquoise.
You know he does.
Tracksuit.
It like, also it does not look uncomfortable.
No, it looks comfy. It's a tracksuit, you know. Yeah. And it's so 90s too. Like that's something I love about it. It's just so irrevocably 1991. And I wish he still wore it, but I guess he fell out of it. I don't really know like what really changed his mind. I think he just maybe got tired of just wearing turquoise, you know. He wears blue sometimes still. But I don't know. Maybe he's sort of, I like to think that he had a minute where he thought he was the son of God, and then he kind of came around a little bit and was like, maybe I'm not. And then from there just was like, well, I'm a conspiracy theorist now. I'm just going to go with it and wrote a bunch of books and, went from there. Otherwise he'd still be wearing turquoise.
I like the turquoise phase.
It's a great period.
This website describes the, turquoise tracksuit as fetching. yeah, no, it's a great tracksuit.
yeah, everybody. So that's about all I have on David Icke. All right.
That's
he's
amazing.
A guy you almost want to like. Like, I almost want to like him.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that he's kind of out there, and that there's a lot of unlikable things about him.
Yeah.
I really wanted to like him. You were correct.
Yeah.
And you know you told us his life story.
I know. And like he's really good about like playing the pity party a little bit about being like, oh, look, poor me. Look how hard my struggles are.
Your quote earlier about how poor he was, how, you know, you don't say it's chilly at the North Pole. Like that's
right.
Yeah, a little dramatic, but also like, aw.
Right. Exactly. And you know, he has some video on YouTube where it's like, and people think I'm a millionaire, but no, here's my house. Look, it's just a normal house. and it's like, okay, you live in a normal house. Sure. So does everybody else, but we're not like all sad about it.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I'm
glad you have a house, David.
Yeah.
Glad you're doing well, David.
I'm glad this reptile stuff has really worked out.
It's working
you.
Out for you. So, I'm kind of done. it was really interesting to learn about this guy, and I hope to talk about him more in the future. Because you know, there's only so many like celebrity status, like conspiracy theorists.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
it's like Alex Jones, David Icke, and then
I don't even know who else to name really, but there are some. You know,
and the guy who made the Finland is not real conspiracy.
Whatever his name was.
Did you ever look into Finland some more? Were you
not
you
recently?
An eye on the,
yeah, not no. recently.
Okay. But yeah, last I heard of it was I talked to that guy on Reddit, and he was like, "Yeah, I did. It is real." Even though I said it wasn't real in that Reddit article, it is real. Don't like, no, like Finland's not real. Even though I said it was real in the Reddit article, you know, so he's kind of a flip flopper there,
yeah.
Depending on, how big of a news outlet is actually interviewing him, changes his story.
All right. this has been a long episode.
It has there. Yeah. And like I'll be frank with you guys, like I did not do as thorough research as I could have done, because I like started doing my research and I was like, man, if I go like 100% into this is gonna be a 3-hour episode. Like Jesus Christ. David Icke.
Yes,
there you go.
David Icke, that's the new thing.
I'm really
saying.
Glad you caught that. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, I'm pretty clever sometimes.
All right.
On the
well...
occasion.
Thanks, guys, for listening once again. We are Mulder Was Right. I don't think we actually introduced ourselves at the beginning of the episode.
I said I'm Curtis, and then I said you were Brendan.
Yeah, I'm Brendan.
This is Brandon.
I'm Brandon.
That's Brandon, and this
Brendan.
Is Curtis.
Hi.
Brandon.
Curtis.
Like Raisin Brandon.
Raisin Brandon. Raisin Brendan.
Brendan Fraser.
Raisin Brendan.
We can't. No.
Raisin Brandon.
Yes. Both raisin. I love raisins.
I like raisins too.
I'm not a fan.
You ever eat them out of those little red boxes?
And that's something to remember, folks at home. If you can't remember who likes raisins and who doesn't, Raisin Brandon
does.
And then not Raisin Brendan. Because Brendan doesn't like raisins. And so, something to take home with you. Something to tell your kids one day.
Let it enrich your life.
Something to pass down. Posterity.
An heirloom?
An heirloom of knowledge.
Yes.
Just like what David Icke gives to the world. Heirlooms of knowledge.
Because he is...
Because he's the son of the Godhead.
I was going to call him our father, and then I was going to call him the son of our father.
He's our brother.
he's our brother. Brother David.
Oh, hey. It's my brother David Icke.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. If you guys were watching on Twitch, thank you guys for watching.
We love you.
Did we have some viewers?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
Wow. It's really incredible. Again, it's really incredible.
Once again, you can watch this live. We're going to post on our Twitter. I'm not going to post on the Facebook because I always forget to. But we're going to post on our Twitter when we go live. Or you can just go to Twitch and follow our channel. It's MWRcast. That's our account, twitch.tv/MWRcast. And just like on all of the social media, we are /MWRcast or @MWRcast. That goes for Twitter and Facebook. If you want to see our sources, where we're getting this information from, all of that stuff, see more pictures of David in a tracksuit, you can go to our website.
There are plenty.
MulderWasRight.wordpress.com. And you can check out our sources there. I actually forgot to post last week's.
So. Oh, well.
I noticed that last night.
So hopefully you weren't looking for that.
For more Beyonce.
It wouldn't be the first time.
At least like, you know, throughout this week. But it'll be up today.
Oh, one thing I forgot to mention. David Icke, when he was like a sportscaster, actually did some reporting on the Shergar incident. Like... when Shergar the horse got stolen.
That's amazing.
And so he talked about just bringing stuff together That's just a little tidbit.
Yep. You see, the world of conspiracies, they're all connected.
Everything's connected. But everything.
But at the same time, the people who are heading these conspiracies, they're fighting it.
Yeah, they're
button heads.
They don't always like
constantly.
Each other.
Can't believe Alex Jones said that.
He did. He
I can't actually imagine
said that
him
in 2001.
Swearing.
I don't know what his current like position is, but I bet it's still unfavorable.
Did InfoWars exist in 2001?
There was. I think he was like. It was like a radio thing mostly.
Yeah.
And
okay,
but
yeah,
the right. keyword InfoWars, I think, existed.
Yeah. It really blew up later. I know that. The Bohemian Grove documentary and like all of his like 9/11 stuff really helped him blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you know, I'm sure we'll do a whole episode about Alex Jones at some point.
Right. Oh my God, we should. So many things about
it's
Alex Jones.
Many.
Like, okay.
Anyway, guys, write us a review. That's a thing that you can do on uh-huh. podcasts.
You can
leave us a voicemail.
Leave us a voicemail. The number will be in the show notes.
The number's in the show notes. We have the number memorized, and we're going to not say it now and just put it in the show notes.
Well, we can't broadcast it like
we
that.
We can't, right, because then they'll hear it.
Right.
The bad guys, the reptiles from our bunker.
Wait,
are we in the ocean?
Notes.
Yeah, we're in
still
the ocean
on the, we're still in an undisclosed ocean.
Undisclosed ocean, because even giving the name of the ocean would be too much information.
Yeah. Well, oceans are only so large.
They're only so
exactly.
large. You, yes. Like if we were in the Pacific Ocean, I'm not saying we are, but if we were, then that would be enough to find us.
Too much.
If we told you that.
Yeah. Hey, wow, guys, Brendan needs to go.
we need to end the episode.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Wake up, sheeple!
Boo. I always get late. I always start late.